This is episode number 62 with singing superstar Jennifer Page. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, a former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Hey, what is up, greats? Thanks so much for hanging out with me on this very special episode of the School of Greatness podcast, because I've got a surprise for you guys. One, you get to hear me sing and play the guitar, and two, you get to listen to one of the most talented singers probably in the world, Jennifer Page, sing a little bit, kind of like tease you a little bit on this episode, but also we do a little duet and sing a song, and there's a video over on the show notes at lewishowes.com if you want to watch it, a little 1 or 2 minute clip of me attempting to accompany me, Jennifer, with her singing a Sheryl Crow song, and I sing a little bit in there as well. But if you guys don't know who Jennifer Page is, she is the one who co-wrote and sang this huge hit song back in the day called Crush, which I'll cue the music right now. Yeah, that's right. That song. I don't know if you guys remember that song, but it was a huge hit. It was like number one on the charts for weeks and weeks and weeks. I think I was like, you know, making out to my girlfriend at that song. And it was, you know, just like a fun summer type of song that was a huge hit all over the world. And Jennifer actually reached out to me on Twitter a few months ago, and we connected, became friends. She came out to LA. We recorded in the studio, and she's got a lot of cool things that she's been doing. She did that song years ago and has been writing, has come out with another record that's been a big hit globally. She's done a lot of touring. She's done commercial work. She's done lots of different stuff, and she's coming on to talk about her journey to the top and what it's like for an artist today on how to get discovered or create your own business from your talent and your music. So I'm excited to bring her on and let her discuss this journey with you. And let's dive in and connect with the one and only Jennifer Page.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Days and nights and days been caught in a rhythm, can't keep running. Never looks back to the promises broken, but can't help wondering.
Oh, And welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness. I'm super excited today because I've got a new friend who's in my studio, the School of Greatness studio in Los Angeles. Her name is Jennifer Page.
Woohoo!
What is up, Jen?
What's up?
Do people call you Jennifer?
Yeah, that's what they call me.
Or Jenny?
Both.
Both. Jay?
I go by whatever people call me, but Jen is usually what people call me.
Okay. And Jennifer lived in LA for, what, 6 years? You used to live here?
Like 9 years.
9 years.
Yeah.
And now you live in Nashville.
I do.
And Jen, it's like, wait, has it been 20 years? No, it hasn't been 20. It's been 15 years, right? Since this 15-year anniversary?
Yeah.
This year?
Yeah. Since, something like that. Yeah. I can't break it down exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for those,
quite a long time.
15 years ago. Is that? Wow.
Stop. You're making me feel bad.
So Jennifer is a superstar and had a hit song that was like a hit for like a year long. It was number one in the charts forever. It was called Crush. But I remember this. We were just having lunch down the street, and I told Jennifer that I probably like made out to this song a bunch of times with my girlfriend.
Made me feel really, really happy inside. I'm glad that I can bring about love into the world.
Exactly. So I'm excited to talk to Jennifer, Jenny J, today because I think she's got a really interesting story and journey. And she was this huge superstar 15 years ago with this big hit single, Crush, right? It was number one for how many weeks? Do you even know? Like 10 weeks or something?
I really don't know because really at that time I was pretty much traveling all over the world and
you're
I wasn't
touring.
Really focused on that sort of thing.
Sure. You know? But it was a hit for like the whole summer or something.
Yeah.
And you were 19.
Yep.
And how are you discovered? I know that's the question that everyone asks back in the day, at least anyways, right? It's like, how are you discovered?
Totally. Well, I was in Las Vegas performing. I'd been on the road with this cover band and, I was super young, right out of high school, went on the road with this band. My parents were dying, of course. And, I wound up in Vegas at Bally's, the hotel Bally's, and like lived there for 6 weeks at a time and then would go to all these other places, but then would always come back to Bally's. And so it was like my home away from home. And one time I was there and performing in this, this actress, Crystal Bernard. She was on that show Wings and she was on a show called It's a Living. And, I loved that show. Like I was obsessed. She was Southern. So I kind of felt this little kindred spirit, you know?
Right.
And, she saw me sing and she was like, okay, next time you come to LA, you've got to give me a call, you know, definitely. And I was like, I'd never been to LA, you know? So I was like, definitely, I will definitely call you. And then I remember running up to my room and jumping on the bed cause I was so excited.
Wow.
And she was such a star, you know, so biggest star I'd really met and had given me attention like that. So
and you were what, like 16, 17?
Or? No, I was like 18. So I think it was 18. So, anyway, I was so excited and, I took her up on it and I'd never been to LA, but I called her and I said, I was like praying that she would remember me, but like a couple weeks later. And I was like, oh, I'm coming to LA again, you know, next week or like a month or whatever, you know? And so, she basically, you know, when I got there, she hired me to sing some demos and stuff like that. And we became fast friends. And then, basically I stayed
in LA.
I never went back to my gig.
Wow.
That was it. And that was the start. And she ended up introducing me to the producer who I ended up working with on Crush and my first record. I was hired as a demo singer. You know, I was just like, I was good at singing demos at the time because I'd been cover bands. So I'd gotten really good at emulating like famous people's voices. So, which
really?
Is exactly what you need to do because they would be like, hey, sing this like Katy Perry or
right.
whoever it was at the time.
Whitney and, Houston.
Yeah. Sing it like Whitney Houston or whoever. And so I started kind of getting known as a demo singer around town. And then I started meeting like really great big songwriters who had huge hits and stuff. And so I was in this circle of really, you know, great, talented people.
At 18, 19.
Yeah. That's
so
how
wait,
it happened.
A demo. So it, you know, educate me on the music world. So a demo singer, you would write or you would sing, someone else would write the song, you would sing on it, and then they would give that to the artist and say, this is like your next song.
Exactly. Yeah. Because most songwriters aren't great singers. They
right.
just can really write great songs. And so when they sing it, it's not really, you know,
it doesn't inspire the artist to be
all.
Like, I can hear myself
exactly.
singing this.
Totally.
But when they've got a great voice on their lyrics, and it's like, wow, this is inspiring and I can get into it. Then
exactly.
they're like, I want that song.
Totally. Yep.
So these writers would hire you or the production houses would hire you.
Yep, the writers. Yep.
And what would that be like? What would that pay be like?
Like $200.
That's it. Just to sing on it. Record it for an hour or two. And
yeah, you do your backgrounds and
done.
Yeah, you're done and you take your money and you go. And you never hear about it. Like, did it get recorded? Did it not? You never really know.
And wow. So did you ever do a song, a demo, and then it was like on the radio in a few months?
No, I didn't, because I actually wasn't doing demos that long. Like, I think I did it about a year and then I got signed. So
wow,
it was really fast for me. I got a really huge opportunity like very early on. And I remember everybody saying, you know, this just doesn't really happen. Usually people don't move to LA and then get a deal and, you know, get a hit and then start touring and all that stuff. But it really was so super, super fast for me.
So if you wouldn't have been in Vegas, none of this would have ever happened.
Right. Because I had dreamed of being like, you know, a recording artist and making records, being on stage. I remember imagining myself on stage in front of like huge audiences when I was a little kid. But I never really knew how to do that, you know? So I never knew, oh, you should move to LA or New York and you should try and get a demo tape to, you know, right, the big executive or a manager or whatever. I just didn't know anybody who had done that, or I didn't know who to ask, you know?
Mm. Wow. Now, was your parents kind of manage you at the time, or what happened? Did you move here alone or what?
I moved here alone and Crystal was the only person that I knew. So it was crazy. My poor parents.
Where were you living when you're here?
I lived in Studio City.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, the first place I moved to was on Ventura Boulevard and right off of literally walk, like I could just walk around the corner to Ventura Boulevard. And I remember being like so lonely. I would like walk up and down Ventura Boulevard and just be like, what do I do now?
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy. You know, it's amazing. I didn't get into like crazy trouble or something like that, but I just started working super fast. So it was crazy times.
Whoa. Okay. So you got signed quickly after. How'd you get signed?
I got signed because the guy that I was working with came to see me perform in the cover band. That was kind of how I was paying for my living. I found another cover band to sing in, and it was like the hot cover band of all cover bands. Like, we would play all the like Hollywood parties and, you know, so I got this taste of like the fine life and like all these celebrities and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible.
So how'd you get that? I mean, how'd you even get on the band?
There was something called Creative Loafing. I don't know if it's still around or what, but like, or maybe it was the Music Connection. It was one of those. And I was reading it one day and there was like ad for a singer, you know?
Shut up. No way.
And I just called them, and then I met up with a guy, and then I kind of like auditioned, you know, like basically just got and sat down at a piano and started singing.
Do you play piano too?
Yeah, I play piano.
So you played and sang?
Yeah. And then I was just like, you know, what do you think? And he said, all right, you're cool. Let's do this. So
that was it.
There was no,
we'll call you back. He was like, okay, no. You got the chops.
Yeah, basically. And he didn't like sign me up for all their gigs. He just kind of tried me out.
Come try out this first gig.
Yeah. I think he had me come sit in, and there was another female singer at the time. So like, I just got up and sang a few songs, and then like slowly after maybe like a week of like, you know, popping up there and singing a song or something, then I started getting my own gigs, you know, then he hired me for my like, oh, I was the singer then.
Okay, you're legit.
Yeah, pretty much. So he tested me out. But I mean, that was cool. Like, I really got comfortable on stage and stuff like that. So it's pretty invaluable. All that timing.
And what were your favorite cover songs to sing back then?
I used to love to sing Sheryl Crow's All I Want to Do.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I loved that song because it was just like the way she sings that song too. Mm-hmm. The rhythm she used, like in the verses, were really offbeat. I know that's kind of, but it was so fun to like learn it and learn her, the cadence she used. It was really like super artistic for a pop song.
Now, I am completely, you know, I would say I'm average educated with music. And my siblings and my parents are, you know, freaks of nature when it comes to music. But I would say that song and Crush, there's some similarities, isn't there?
That's a good, I like that.
Are there some similarities? I mean, was that kind of influenced in the song?
How you sing it? I don't know. Like, it was, I was definitely listening to a lot of her music at the time. I can't say, you never really know. Like, I know everybody always asks you, who are your influences? Right. But like, I don't think you really know, because you're listening to so much music and whatever. It's like, yeah, you morph into whatever. So I was listening to a lot of Mariah Carey at the time, Sheryl Crow, Fiona Apple, Alanis Morissette. It was just a little bit of everything, really.
Right. So. Interesting. Okay. So you started doing your own gigs.
Yeah.
With the cover band.
Yep.
And then what happens? You're like going around LA, or you're going to celebrity parties.
Yep, all that stuff. And then some label people came because I sang this version of Chain of Fools. And
what's that song?
Chain of Fools is Aretha Franklin's, like,
how's it go?
Chain, chain, chain.
Oh, okay.
You know that one? It's like a classic. Uh-huh. And I was doing that song, and they were like, hey, we should do a remix of this song. Mm. So this guy, Muhammad Moretta, he was this awesome DJ on Groove. I forget the name of the station, but it was an LA station. And he just did for free. He just did this, or originally it was for free. He did this cool remix. I did this really basic, track voice, you know, of Chain of Fools. And then he took the vocal and created a remix around it. And it was really, really cool. Like, I loved it. I totally loved it. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe he did that. You know, how did he do that? But it was so, so cool. And it started kind of going up the charts, and there was nothing behind it really.
Mm.
And people started going like, who is this chick? Like, what is going on? You know? So that's really how I got my start. Then Adel, the record company that signed me originally, is a German company, and they saw this thing kind of popping out of nowhere. And then they flew to, they were opening up a company in New York, and they flew to California to meet with me and stuff. So that's really how it happened. Then, you know, we got a little bit of a budget to go finish.
What's a little, 10, 20 grand or something?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. I think I got, my signing bonus was like $22,000.
That's not bad for a 19-year-old. You're rich.
I felt rich.
You're rich.
I felt
then.
So rich. I felt like, I was like, wow, like this money will never run out.
Yeah, right.
Ever.
It's gone in 2 months.
I think my rent was like $600 a month.
Wow.
It was awesome. Good times. Good times.
So, man, this happened so fast then. You're just like singing just to have fun and just to make some money to like live here.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, I did have these big ambitions, but I never really knew exactly. I remember, like, I was always pretty resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
So I did go make my own demo tape. And what I did was, like, I sang cover songs of like Celine Dion and Mariah Carey, I think, was one. And maybe like, I forget who. Well, I think Melissa Etheridge was one, because I was trying to show versatility.
Sure.
So I was doing like,
you could do
very,
everything.
Yeah, I can do everything. And just hire me, please, for your for your demo singer, because I need to pay my $600 rent.
Right.
So I did that early on when I first moved here. And then I like, anytime I would meet a new songwriter, then I would give it to them, you know, and I would say, please pass this to somebody or whatever. So I think I knew to do that at least.
That's pretty good. So you were like hustling, you were doing your little personal branding and getting yourself out there.
Yeah. A little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So all this happened in basically like a year. You're doing a couple of like gigs with this cover band, and then you do this song. What is it called?
Chain of Fools.
Chain of Fools.
You're in so much trouble for not knowing that song.
I mean, I know when you sing it.
Okay.
I understand. I've heard it a bunch. I just don't know the name.
Okay.
And then you get signed, and you get this budget, and you get the signing bonus, and then what happens next? And then Crush comes out, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
This is insane. So
I know,
it's like
really
in a year
fast.
Or two.
I just feel like it was kind of meant to be, because it just was like, it just happened, you know? And there was nothing I could have really forced to make. I was just so naive, you know?
Sure.
I didn't know. And
it's like, yeah, let's do it.
Sure. Let's do this. Awesome.
I'm ready
sounds
to
fun.
Record. Yeah.
Let's go. So I recorded the record with the budget, and then, you know, we had more of a budget to actually make the record.
Uh-huh.
But that was like my living money. And like a really funny story is, when I signed my record, I had this little LeBaron convertible that I'd bought when I moved out to California. And it was just like this clunker, really. But I loved it because it was convertible and it was cute to me. But anyway, I got stuck. We went to this like really nice restaurant for my signing, like for the like celebration of me signing my record deal with Adel. And then Hollywood Records came in later, and they were part of this too at this time. And I pulled up to valet, and my car quit in the valet line. In front of everybody.
Oh,
and it
man.
Was one of those where you couldn't, like, the whole line was right off of, I think it was like Sunset Boulevard or something.
Packed.
It was totally packed. And I was the like awful person where my car stalled, and they had to like move it. They had to push
no
it.
Way.
It. I was devastated.
Oh my
but
God.
The great thing is, then they gave me $10,000 to go buy a car.
No way.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So it actually was really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was so funny. So embarrassing. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so you get the signing bonus, you get everything happens, and then what's the deal? Do they write these songs for you? Are you writing songs and then saying, hey, this is what I want on my record? Or
I was kind of like, it was like a little bit of both. At that time, I wasn't like, now I write a lot. I write for myself, write for other artists and stuff, write for different types of things like pop songs and commercials and different kinds of stuff. But back then I was really scared to share my stuff that I'd written with people. I was really,
why?
Like, I just felt like it wasn't like I was surrounded by all these hit writers and I didn't really know what was good or what was mine as good as theirs or my idea stupid or, you know, I just didn't have the confidence.
Did you
really have
enough experience?
Or? Yeah, exactly. Did I know? Like, I don't really know. Like, maybe they know. So anyway, I basically on the first record, I think I wrote like 3 of the songs, you know, and the rest were other people's songs. But then my next record was like mostly songs written by me. And then my last couple records are all songs written by me, basically.
Okay.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Saving money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
So the record comes out. How long did it take to finish?
I mean, like 7 months, something like that.
To write all the songs, to record it all, and just kind of like get it ready.
Yeah.
And so what happens then, or what happened, I guess, then? Was it like we release a single first and then that promotes that whole album, or what happens?
Well, usually a big label, you know, will like promote their artists, you know, a few months ahead of time. You'll set them up at like South by Southwest, mm-hmm. or, you know, you'll go and you'll definitely want to create the buzz.
Yeah.
But there was none of that. It was just basically like this, the producer that I was working with took in the Crush when we had it mixed, and everybody was like, in our little tiny team of 3 people, you know, we were like, this sounds like a hit, you know? And, so we took it to this lady who was pretty high up in the industry. And then she took it to, Kiss FM LA, and, they started playing it immediately.
Really?
They tested it. They did like, hey, you know, that like Fly or Die or whatever it is, those things where, you know, they play like a couple songs and listeners basically rate it. Do they like it? Do they hate it? Thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. Well, it just kept winning these battles.
Wow.
And I was like, every night my song would be the winner of the battle.
Shut up.
So that's a huge station to get noticed by. I mean, in the, like one of the biggest in the world, basically.
Wow.
Like, so, that they really broke me. And so it just was literally that easy. It was crazy. So I just remember being like on the radio and being like, oh my gosh, like I'm on the radio.
Wow.
It was nuts.
And you're like, you didn't feel like it was a struggle because it happened so young.
Yeah.
Everything fell into place.
Pretty much. I mean, once I moved to California, it happened really quickly. But before that, like I had, you know, I'd been on the road for, you know, a few years by then.
Doing cover stuff.
Yeah. Doing cover stuff. I had really toured.
When you were 16.
Yeah, like 17.
Wow.
Right after, you know, high school, I started touring. And, You know, it just, yeah, it happened so quickly. I mean, I'd already performed at an Olympics.
What?
Like, I'd done
what,
a lot
96?
Of stuff in 96.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
Because it was Atlanta.
What'd
and
you
that's
do?
Where I'm from.
Oh, my gosh. Did you do an anthem or something? Or
I did. I was in the Joe's band, the cover band, you know, that I told you about. Wow. That band was chosen, the one that did all the Hollywood parties and stuff. That band was chosen to be, you know, the band for the Olympics. So we did that party. And, I mean, I'd done some really cool stuff by the time I got a deal. I just feel like I had really good, like, instincts and luck.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy.
That's incredible.
It was funny.
So what were you doing before all this? I mean...
Always singing.
Always, when you were a kid?
Yep. Me and my brother both are singers, and he's still a professional musician to this day. He works... He does, like, a lot of choir work, so he'll hire, like, the best singers in Nashville, basically, to come and sing like whatever work is, you know, and he'll arrange the vocals and stuff like that. So he's very talented.
Wow.
He's an amazing singer himself. So, we work together a lot actually, and he's a producer as well. So anyway, young days, we'd sing duets together, and we were those geeky kids, you
wow.
know, who, you know, just were the local, you know, whatever. My dad was a contractor. So he would build a shopping center, like a local shopping center. And then on opening day, he would like ask the owner of the shopping center if it would be okay if we were the entertainment for
wow.
the opening day.
That's amazing.
So we started getting familiar with just being on stage at like, I think I was like 9 or so when
Jeez.
I started being on stage. And it was just like people would be like, oh, they're so cute. You know,
sure.
it was just like we weren't good. We were just like cute kids, basically.
Yeah.
But we thought we were good, you know, and we thought it was like a big deal. And people took us really seriously. And my dad had us do like Tony Robbins, like whatever that ultimate power or something like that.
Sure.
As a family, I remember like, what are your biggest dreams? I'm like, I want to be, I don't know. Like, I remember like choosing a producer that I'd seen on somebody's album credits. And I was like, I want to work with so-and-so, you know, and stuff like that.
And you did it.
I did. I'm not him exactly, but I did go to dinner with him once.
Wow.
It was cool. So stuff like that, you know, just like and then we went to a performing arts high school, both of us. And
okay.
then we went to like these college classes in the summers that were like for college kids, but we were accepted into this program called Governor's Honor. So I feel like I got a lot of like
training
early on. Yeah.
Sure.
Because that
wow.
performing arts school was like intense. That's good.
Now, this is crazy. Okay. So, when did you know that you actually had some good talent then? Because you were 9 and you're like, we thought we were good, but we weren't. But, you know, what age did you realize, whoa, like people are actually responding? Were they kind of blown away or really inspired?
I think when I was like a junior in high school, because it was a performing arts school, there was a lot of talent around. So
everyone
like,
was good.
Everybody was good, especially the seniors. I was a junior, but all the seniors were really good. Like it was a great class of people. And so I was like the younger one, right? That was like coming up behind
sure,
them, you know?
Sure.
And then I started like auditioning for all these things. And then I started kind of getting them, you know? So it's like something happened that junior year where I started winning everything, you know, winning any competition I was in or getting noticed or getting chosen for that Governor's Honors thing. And so I started being like, okay, now I think I must be good because people keep asking me to do this, you know?
And you were just, do you just like sing all day or what was it like back then?
I remember my dad and mom being like, shut up, you know, like from downstairs, I'd be up and I'd just be like obsessing over other singers,
wow.
like vocal licks or, you know, just like tone. I was really into like trying to emulate things, not because I wanted to be them, but I just wanted to be able to do stuff with my voice that I wasn't able to do. So
give me an example. Can you like show an example of how you would practice this or train or like if you were going to emulate Whitney Houston versus another popular singer back then, like what would you do?
Like, I think it was just like a really like a technical thing that maybe people wouldn't find interesting. I don't know, but like,
well, I'd be interested.
Okay, perfect. All right. Then we'll do it. We'll do it. So like for instance, at the time it was Mariah Carey, you know, and she was doing like Vision of Love. You know, that's this amazing song. And then there was another song called Vanishing. And Vanishing was really soulful. And it was really like bluesy almost. Mm. And being from the South, like I just really responded to that sound. And I'm a white chick, you know, I can only do so much, right? I was just like, okay, I can do this. And I was like, you're vanishing. So, okay. Like instead of being like vanishing, I would be like, shing, those little things, you know, I would just be like, okay. And I would try and do exactly the timing that she would do. And so like, if I wasn't exactly with her, then I would just do it until I could do it, wow. You know? So I didn't know that I was like trying to, like hone my skills, but I was doing it cause it was fun to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't like super serious. I just
wanted
it.
To match it.
I just was like, I can do this. And wow. Then especially like high notes, I really wanted to be able to hit high notes, you know, and I that would be something that I was struggling with, you know? So like, that's when my parents would be like, shut up, you know? Cause I would sing a high note over and over and over and over again until I could do it, you know? So
this stuff is fascinating to me. It's probably fascinating because I can't do it. That, you know, like half is.
See,
well
but it's
a
lot of it's practice, and I didn't even know I was practicing.
Sure.
But I was just so drawn to it that that was fun to me. So like when everybody was like going to like, you know, pool parties and stuff like that as a kid, I just was like more interested in like learning to sing and being in contests and stuff like that.
That's cool. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I did some of that stuff, but I wasn't like every weekend doing stuff like that.
Would you have, you know, if you were 16 again and American Idol was on?
Yeah.
Would you have auditioned for it?
I'm sure I would have. Yeah. I'm sure I would have.
Or like X Factor or whatever, you know, The Voice.
Yep. I'm sure I would have. Yeah. Because, I mean, as a kid, you don't know what to do. And you think, like, somebody's got answers. I'm going there. You know? So, I mean, I would, you know, I would. Yeah, definitely.
What do you think of those shows, those competitions?
I think they're great in the aspect that it's like overnight exposure, and like you can go from zero fans to like millions of fans. But they pay such a high price, really, because they're,
like,
you know, basically they're walking in with a contract that they kind of have to sign that they can't
if
negotiate.
If they get signed, this is your contract.
This is
if
your
you win, here's the contract.
Yeah, it's like if you want to be on this show, here's the contract, sign it.
Wow.
You can't really negotiate unless you have some kind of leverage, which most people don't. Like, you know, unless they really, really want you, like everybody gets the same contract, and they're intense contracts. Like they are.
Do you know what they are? Or have you heard?
I don't know if they're different for everybody, but I just know that they're like 360 deals, which is like they get a portion of your merchandising, your touring, and this goes for a long, long, long period of time. So, you know, they pay a really high price. So it's like if they can do it on their own, it's always better, you know, to do that because then you're going to see more. But it's really a toss up. Like, you know, it's just what makes the most sense.
Sure, sure.
Person and if they could do it on their own or not.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, that's not what you did. Or I guess fortunately, that's not what you did.
Yeah.
You got signed and then you became a huge star basically overnight, I guess you could call it, when this record went out and Crush was like number one that whole summer or whenever it was. And what was that like then? You were touring.
I was touring the world, really. Yeah.
Were you like instant celebrity then when you came back to the States? Do people know you? And
yeah,
like you were on every radio station.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to get a piece of you.
Mm-hmm. I was doing like, 14 interviews a day. And, you know, getting up at like 5:30 in the morning for makeup and television, the early morning show. And, you know, going to bed after like a late dinner with like all the people that I needed to, you know,
Rub elbows. Sure, yeah.
That's the strangest. I never thought about how weird that phrase is. Yeah, like I had to do all those meet and greets and all that stuff. So it would just be like a daily. It was a machine.
How long did that last for?
Years. Yeah.
Really?
Insane. Yeah.
Wait.
And then you kind of do it again when you go to promote your second record, which was for me was in 2001. You just get up and you do it again, basically. You hope that it goes as well as your original does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always like, you know, no matter what level of success you have, I feel like everybody, you know, is always like hoping that they can reach that success again.
So, okay. So Crush was number one for however many weeks. Well, I'll do the research and figure it out. But did you ever have another song that hit number one?
No, I never had a number one. I had some top fives, and I had some hits, but especially around the world, not really in America. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, my second record was released the week of September 11th. Yeah, it was just terrible timing. I mean, music really was on hold, and the song that that I was releasing as the single was like all about like these days, everything's wonderful. And,
oh, man.
You know, everything's like
no
awesome.
No one wanted to hear that song.
Oh, no. I didn't even want to sing it. I was embarrassed to promote it because it just felt so inappropriate. And yeah, it just like it pretty much just came and went in America. But fortunately for me, I got to go overseas and do some tours and stuff like that. So the life of the record was extended through, you know, the world. Basically. And there was a song called Stranded that became a big hit as well.
All around the world.
Yeah, pretty much.
And we talked before during lunch that like, you know, Italy is probably the place you're most well known, right?
I mean, that's it's hard for me to know, to be honest, but mm-hmm. I love being in Italy and I love the people there and I always like receive like a huge warm welcome.
It's gotta feel nice.
Yes, that's the best country in the world to be loved. I just want to go there as often as possible.
That's incredible. Okay, so it's been 15 years about, right?
Yep.
Is that what it's been? What was it, 1998?
Okay. It was released in some places. It was released in 99. Okay. So, yeah.
It's called 15 Years.
Yeah.
Now, some would say that you had your biggest success, you know, your first time around, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Some would say, like, I came and went.
Based on results.
Yeah.
What you've created for, I guess, you know, how we view things as being successful.
Yeah.
You had a number one when you first came out, and in 15 years, you haven't had a number one.
Right. Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Well, I think I used to get my feelings hurt. I used to be like, I'm not a one-hit wonder. You guys are crazy. Like, I have toured this world, and I have had other hits and whatever. And but, like, then one day I just woke up, and I was like, that's ridiculous. Like, I actually have been, like, successfully living as a musician, as a performer, as an artist. Mm. I mean, I've done so many cool things. Like, I've performed for the Pope. I sang on one of, in the first MTV show in China. And it was like the first rose, it was their first like, thing that their first show that wasn't controlled by the government. So it was like a big deal, right? And the first few rows was all military. And they told me if I like said anything inappropriate or wore anything inappropriate, I would go to jail.
Shut up.
Yeah. So like stuff like that. I've experienced so much as a singer. My singing has taken me so many cool places. And I mean, this has been throughout my career. It's not, you know, I went to Russia a couple years ago.
It wasn't just the first couple years.
Yeah. So it's like really just that people don't know, you know, and they don't know that I've gone and done some really cool things and all around the world. But in America, I've really not done as many things as around the world, to be honest. But I've done a lot of cool things in America that people don't know about. Like, you know, I've written songs for commercial campaigns and, you know, I co-wrote a song with Smash Mouth recently for their single. And, you know, I've just gotten to do, I've written songs with a lot of up and coming artists that should be coming out within the next year or so. So, you know, just like really cool stuff like that, that I'm proud, you know, that I've been able to do that. And it hit me at one point too, like, why in the world would I ever feel bad about like doing something that most people could never have done. Mm. And like, that's like, you only got one gold medal. Like, what a loser.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, what? What is happening? I stopped subscribing to that thought.
Interesting. Now, why did you stop subscribing to that?
I think because
how old were you?
I was like 28, okay. You know, by that time.
So
you
about
know,
10 years or
in the business, like you get beaten down pretty good.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, you just have to keep motivating yourself and knowing, you know, finding that inner strength to keep going and to keep it fun and that sort of thing. And at a certain point it wasn't fun. I felt like, you know, my managers weren't great. Like I didn't have the support that I needed. I felt very alone in the business and I didn't know if I really had any true believers. Mm. You know, I just was like, man, this sucks, you know? And I just was like, do I even want to do this anymore? Mm. I really hit that rock bottom where I was just like, wow. I've done a lot of really cool things. Maybe I just pack my bags and go and do something cool, you know, something else. But it's like, it just, the second that you do that, then like that really cool thing around the corner happens and you're like, all right, well, I guess I'm meant to do this, you know? So I would always find myself sucked back in, whether really? It be like a, you know, a song got placed in, you know, Laguna Beach or, you know, a show that I, or a movie or something that I would just be like, well, that was awesome, you know? And it's just like always kept me going,
yeah.
You know, right when my fire was like
about to
die. Yeah. I was just like, all right, well, cool. I still got it.
Right.
You
and,
know?
And so this was like the last, you know, handful of years you were kind of out of it, right? You were kind of like, you lost your drive or your passion as much, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I actually lost my parents in 2008.
Oh my gosh.
2008. My mom had been having like some lung issues and she passed away in January of 2008. And then, and my mom and dad were together, you know, like really, really awesome couple. And then 2 weeks later, my dad passed away.
Oh my God.
He had a heart attack.
No way.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was really, really terrible. And so, we just like, my brother and I just totally struggled, you know, and that's about when I just really lost the will to fight. You know what I mean? My fight was low already. I felt like I was saying, like I started feeling very alone in the business and like, who cares, you know, does anybody care? And, like I had always had like such a will and such a strong drive and, passion and, you know, fight. And that fight was just gone. Like I just didn't have it in me. So, you know, I just got really down and I did have a deal at the time with a company called Glor, a German company, and I had one record deal with them. And, so I did a lot of like traveling and touring. It was good, like distraction almost made a record with them,
sure.
But my heart was just broken, you know? And then like 2 years later, that huge flood in Nashville happened. I don't know if people know about that here, but like, or anywhere, but, you know, this huge flood happened and people's homes were like destroyed. And my parents' home, my dad was a builder, he was a contractor, and he had built like, he had built like parts of the home and it was destroyed. Like it was just like, and I just felt like, man, I mean, I was just starting to, and then we had to like rebuild this home and all this stuff. There was a lot to deal with around that. And then like, yeah, it just like, I just was like exhausted. So I think that was like almost like a time where I really found myself in a different way.
Sure.
And I found my fight again, you know, like after all that, I was just like, dang, if I can get through all of this, like I can, you know.
In a couple of years, right?
Yeah,
was totally. 2010 when the flood happened or what?
Yep, 2010. And then, are you ready for this?
Bring it.
Then I got melanoma cancer. And
explain what that is.
It's like, it looks like a sunspot basically. And I had a little spot on my cheek, on my right cheek. And I was like, what is this? I went to a dermatologist and they put some kind of chemical on it and it went away for a minute. And then I went back like 6 months later and it had come back. And then I guess that's a bad sign. Mm. And so I had to have surgery twice.
Wow.
And it was just like, what the heck is going on? You know? So it was just like, bam, bam, bam. But I think what happened during all that time, I'm fine now, by the way.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm all good. But like, you know, it took some time to heal and all that stuff. And during that, it just like, I found my fight again. I have a stronger will to live than I ever have after seeing my parents pass away, having that like brush with death myself. And like, now I'm just like, man, I just want to do what makes me happy. And that's what it's about, you know? So I'm not going to do anything that I don't want to do. I don't really care what anybody thinks. Mm. Like I used to care a lot. I don't care at all. Like, not in a bratty way,
sure.
Like in just like a, this is like, we have one life basically. Mm. Like if your heart calls you to do something, it's important to do it, you know? So I think I never really thought about it like that because my early days were so spontaneous and I was so like led in a way.
Sure.
And now like it's just a different thing. Like now I'm like, what do I want to do? Like, what do I really want to do?
So what is that?
It's cool.
What do you want to do?
So I want to do a million things, like always. I've always wanted to do a million things, but I have a lot of really cool projects in the works that I'm super excited about. And they're just like little departures from what I've always done. And they're like little growth spurts for me. Like, for instance, over the last several years, you know, like I said, I've placed a bunch of music in film and television and
it's gotta feel cool.
Commercials and stuff like that. Yeah, totally. And it's just like its own, it's its own thing. I released a record on my own. I took it to radio. So like I've had a major deal, I've had an indie deal, and I've released a record on my own. You know what I mean? So like, I feel like I've learned, what is it like to do that? What's it like to do that? What's it like to do that? And so I've learned little bits and pieces along the way that now I'm really like inspired to create, a place where singers can come and they, like, they don't have maybe a friend of the family or something like that, where they can say like, what do I do? How do I make it? How do I get a song in my favorite television show? What do I do to get a song in an ad campaign? Like, what if I don't know anybody? What if I live in Timbuktu? Like, what if, you know, there's no chance for me or whatever, you know? I just want, 'cause I remember that feeling of not knowing what to do and it stinks, you know? So I just really want, it's the first time in history, I feel like, where artists have distribution on their own, because through TuneCore and iTunes and YouTube and all these things that are fingertips for free, if you know how to navigate it well, then it, like, opportunities galore, basically. But there's a lot of people out there doing it wrong, and they're basically wasting their time. And it sucks, because they're spending a lot of time or a lot of money, and they really don't know how to get it to people. You know, just like maybe they've got like 30, you know, 30 plays on their YouTube channel, and, you know, it's like their family and friends or whatever, you know, or they have to beg everybody, please like my page, you know, or whatever. And just, there's a lot more ways that they can, you know, they don't have to struggle quite as much. So,
and you've learned a lot of how to do it all through like trial and error and figuring it out yourself.
Exactly. Trial and error. So I'm kind of, I'm going to be doing a podcast like you, for singers, basically, where I'll be interviewing artists and people who have had really big careers and people who are just great for just incredible teachers for young artists, or artists of any age, really, who still have like the desire to crush it.
There you go. And when is it going to come out? When are you going to start this?
Soon,
right?
Soon.
Okay, cool. So,
yes.
Well, I'll link it up on the show notes whenever you launch it, so people all have a link for it.
Perfect. Thank you.
That's cool.
What do you think of the breakthrough artist?
Mine's cool.
That's what it's called.
Okay.
Good. I'm glad you like it.
I mean, it's cool.
Awesome. Good.
What if I didn't like it?
That would have sucked. You would have just been like, wah, wah. You would have killed my dreams. Way to go.
Breakthrough artist. I like that. No, it's good.
Cool.
But you don't care what anyone thinks anyway. So.
That's true. Good point. Okay. I do. I said not in a bratty way.
Sure. I mean, it's interesting because there's so many artists that are making multiple six figures who are kind of like indie artists, I guess, or just local artists, and haven't really hit a major scene.
Yep.
But they're finding ways to market themselves specifically online and capture their 1,000 true fans or whatever.
Yeah.
To buy tickets, buy merchandise, buy their songs.
And those are the people that I want to interview. Also, even bigger stars.
Like Macklemore's
I mean, he's obviously gone like completely, you know, crazy worldwide. Yeah. That's a different level. But I think it's going to be really cool to speak to people who have like a indie following, and there are really different ways to approach the industry. If you want to be a big pop star, you want to approach it this way. If you want to go indie and tour, and you want to approach it that way, you know? So stuff like that. I just want to like pull the nuggets from those people who are doing it well.
Right.
And hopefully people will learn, and without making the same mistakes, because artists always make the same mistakes. For generations, we're making the same mistakes, and it's so silly, you know, giving your rights away and all that stuff. Like, you just don't have to do it. We don't have to keep doing that now.
Right. I've got a guy maybe you want to interview. He's not as well known as you, but his name is Randy Williams.
Okay.
And it's interesting. He has like this van that he bought that runs on like oil, like kitchen oil.
Yeah.
Like from, you know, like he'll go to a restaurant and he'll get their oil.
It's so Willie Nelson of him.
And he'll fuel his whole tour from like kitchen stops.
That's amazing.
Getting these bags of like vegetable oil.
I think that's awesome.
And then he's got his whole merch thing set up in his van, He's got a bed that folds out.
Yeah.
Everything. It's incredible.
That is crazy.
And he's got like tour gigs set up all the time. Yeah. And he's like becomes really good friends with the people at these places. So he always goes back every year.
So it's like, if that's the life that you want, and you're like, I just want to tour no matter what, that, and that's what you just want the experience of
yeah.
it. That's the way to go. But if you don't want to get in a van and go across, you know,
right.
then there's probably a different,
there's other ways. Yeah. There's multiple ways to make money and get your music out there.
Exactly.
And be heard and be found. So,
yeah.
And that's what you're going to be showing people.
Basically and all the different ways and
how to do it.
Different approaches.
I love it.
Thank you. Thanks.
So besides that, what else is up for you? And what are you really, I don't know, what are you really excited about creating?
I'm working on a new EP right now. That's really fun. I'm excited about that just because, like I said, the last several years have just been like, whoa.
Heavy.
So I've just got like, I'm just enjoying like creating music, you know? So that's a big thing. And, I'm doing some, guest vocal kind of things. I just did a thing with York, the band York. There's a song called Lost Under the Sun that I just did. And it did really well in the trance, world.
In the house trance world.
Yeah. So fun. Like, I'm just really into doing stuff like that.
I gotta hear that song.
Yeah.
What's
it
called? I bet
you'd like it. It's called Lost Under the Sun.
Lost Under the Sun?
Yeah. And it's York featuring Jennifer Page. But there's a couple different remixes of it. And I have a favorite. I'll know when I see. But there are like several different versions.
So are you doing more of that? Because, I mean, that seems like the big hit right now is the house trance scene, right?
I'm totally into that.
You are?
Yeah.
I mean, here's what I like. The coolest house or trance songs, I don't even know like the differences between them, but the coolest ones for me are what I call the crazy high girl voices.
Yeah.
Where you got some crazy high girl voice like singing in the background, belting it out. You don't even know what she's singing, but it's like, this is epic.
Right. Totally.
I think you'd be great at that.
Thank you. Thanks. I got that. No, I like basically don't want to limit myself. I want to, you know, I'm doing those kind of things with different artists. That stuff's really, really cool. Creating my own EP, which is super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then like this big project with the podcasting
and
with the younger artists and stuff. And I think it's just, I'm like excited to see where it all leads because it feels like a resurgence in a way.
Mm.
So, I know it's for something like it feels big for my life.
That's great.
So it's a cool time for me.
It's great.
It's really fun.
It's a great part of your journey.
Yeah. Huge.
Now, if you could perform with one artist, who would you want to perform with or work with or sing with or whatever?
Right now, I'm really into, what's his name? Oh my gosh. I hope I don't go blank like I usually do when I try and figure out somebody's name. I've been listening to him like all day.
Is there a song?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Talk about it. Who's that by?
What is wrong with me? I don't know. But like, he's this amazing artist that I'm so, so, so into it. Anyway,
it's not Daniel. No, not Daniel Powder. Let me see.
Anyways, he's amazing. And, and the whole thing is that he's kind of like a Bruno Mars, Justin Timberlake, like, but he's edgier. And I love like Lissy and Ellie Goulding. I mean, that's my kind of music. Like right now I'm just like obsessed with that kind of music. So
that's cool.
It's like great singers who have really modern sounds. Like the production is really modern and I love like the beat and all that stuff. So yeah, I've been really listening.
That's cool.
Anyway, those are the kind of people I'm really into working with right now.
Mm. Okay. What like someone who's not with us anymore, what singer would you love to like do a duet with?
I'm thinking of a lot of people right now, but like I don't know why. Like I just have always loved Johnny Cash.
Mm.
I don't know if it's because I'm from the South and he's been so built up or what, but like I like love Johnny Cash music, which is really a curveball, I know. But like, I think he would be. Maybe I just want to know him.
Sure.
I think I just want to be friends with him.
Okay.
Like I want to be invited for dinner
to a party with him. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
What type of advice would you give, a young artist who's got passion for singing or playing music, and maybe they're a teenager or about to go into college and they're from a small town and maybe they're listening right now
and they've got this passion, and they're constantly, they listen to the things that you talk about when you were growing up, and they're like, gosh, that's what I do. I'm like trying these little melodies and this thing and right. these techniques, and I don't even know I'm doing it, but I'm just like trying to match this. What, you know, what do you tell someone like that? Like, what do you tell them to do for the next step or to, you know, about their journey?
Well, for me, it like if you really break down my journey or other people's journeys who've kind of made it, I think it's about getting as good as you can at what you're doing, whatever, like knowing who you are as an artist. Like, I didn't know who I was as an artist, but I knew the beginning of that. Like, I knew what I wasn't and I knew what I was and what I could do well. And so I think it's important that they learn how to do that well, like do what they do well and not try and be somebody they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't want to like be a dance artist, you know, like, I don't know, dress the part, you know.
Sure.
If you want to be a dance artist, go buy some leotards right now, today. But like, you know, I don't know. I think it's about getting good at your craft and being as many places as you can be. So like, you know, putting yourself in awkward positions like contests and local shows. And, you know, if you ever hear about like a local event where there's going to be music people there, go. It's always good. And I think the biggest thing that people aren't using is the internet.
Right.
I mean, you can tweet people. Like, how did I meet you? We
Twitter.
Tweeted.
Twitter.
Yeah, right. So it's like, it's not like, hey, please listen to my music and don't spam people with your like sure. link. But like, if you really are interested in somebody and you follow them and you start to get to know a feeling of these people, like you can really reach out to a ton of people that way.
True.
And I mean, it doesn't even have to be like creepy. You can be really cool. And and they may just happen to like, hey, that person's cool. Like, I'm going to check them out, you know, or whatever. You just never know what can happen. So I think it's about becoming really resourceful. That's the biggest deal.
It's funny, you know, when I saw your message on Twitter, I can't remember. I think you'd like listened to a podcast episode.
I was like, oh my gosh, I just discovered your podcast and I freaking loved it. I was like, it was really, really good. I loved it.
Yeah.
And so I tweeted you that and that was that.
Yeah. And I remember, so I was like, who is this person? Because I'd never heard of your name before.
Thanks,
and just like, who's
you.
This singer?
This special now.
Well, I was like, who is this? So what I usually do if I get a nice compliment, I'm like, all right, who is this person?
Right.
And what's their website look like?
Right.
And
exactly.
To know if I know them or something. And I went to your website, and I told you this story already. I went to your website. I go there, and there's a video, you know, on the page or whatever that says Crush. And so I click it, and I was like, what is this, like, cover song?
You're like, she sounds pretty good.
I was like, man, this is a really high production value cover video.
I'm like, yeah, that video costs like $500,000.
And I was like, man, is this the artist? But I was like, dang, I remember this song. And that's how it happened. It was pretty funny for me.
I love it. Yeah, that's funny. You're like, wow, she is really taking this cover seriously. Yeah,
exactly. I was like, what is going on here?
That's awesome.
But it was a fun experience. And now we're here in LA hanging out.
And I think that's how things happen.
Yeah.
You know, you just like kind of put yourself out on a limb. I mean, you might have thought I was a weirdo, like being like, hey, I loved your, I don't know.
Nah,
you know, but like,
someone compliments me, it's, you know, I'll take it.
Okay, you'll take it. All right, good. good. And most people, I guess, would be that way, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes I think as a new artist, like, you feel like people are going to, like, look down on you. Like, why would I talk to you?
Sure,
like, you know how it is. It's like, if you respond to people, you know, who follow you, they're sometimes like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you responded to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you realize, like, people all around the world, we all struggle with that. Like,
yeah, and I would say it's also tough to, like, because if you are reaching out to someone who you want to get their attention with, like say there's an artist who wants to connect with you, you may get contacted constantly by young artists looking for advice or looking for you to check out their demo or hey, listen to my stuff. And you're like, you've heard these, you know, for 15 years.
Right.
So I think if you're going to reach out to someone, really set yourself up to win by having some talent and backing up what you want them to like
Definitely.
Check out. Don't just like say, hey, will you check this out and give me feedback?
No,
but like,
it's like spam.
Yeah.
Then nobody
with, like,
likes that.
like be inspiring.
Yeah.
And like show them something that they're like, whoa, who is this person? And I want to respond to them.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, can you give me advice? I'm starting out.
Totally.
Like research it, YouTube or Google it.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point because a lot of times people are very lazy about how they approach a situation. It's like if they just did their homework, they'd be like a million miles ahead of all the others.
Yeah.
So that's really good advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I could learn about the music business from you all day, but that's why you are launching, what's it called? The Breakthrough Artist?
Yep.
The Breakthrough Artist.
TBA.
TBA. And it'll all be linked up on the show notes over at lewishouse.com. So make sure to check out and subscribe to that podcast if you're an artist or if you just want to hear Jennifer sing on there or talk about
really cool people
and interview celebrities and
musicians.
When
you make it as a singer, I'm going to interview you, Lewis.
Me? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, when you make it, you are on my podcast.
You know what I want to do?
Tell me.
I haven't learned the chords to your song, but I want to learn the chords to your song and have you sing like a line.
That'd
or
be
like
fun.
The chorus to Crush.
Right. Let's do
after,
it.
After this, I'll have my buddy record a video of it and I'll put it up on the show notes.
Awesome. Let's
I'm actually
it.
Terrified by saying this now because I don't like put myself out there
we're
musically.
Doing it.
But yeah.
That would be fun.
So,
that would be hilarious.
So the show notes, you'll see that. LewisHouse.com, and then also the podcast with Jennifer. And I want to ask you the last question.
Okay.
Which is, what is your definition of greatness?
Ooh, that's a good one. My definition of greatness is probably, like, I think it's pretty rare, actually. Greatness is pretty rare. You might have, like, a great moment. And I think, like, greatness is when, like, you're really in the flow and everything's coming together and like you're hitting all the areas, like all at once, you know, you've got your family's in check, your business is in check, you know, your friendships and you maybe got some money in the bank and like you can travel and see the world and meet new people. And like, I don't know, it's like most of the time we're like, you know, we're struggling in one area cause we're focusing maybe on another area so much or whatever. So it's like really hard to find that balance. But like, for me, greatness would be like when I'm really like all my areas are in check and I'm like really, I don't know, like kind of living my idea of like my potential, like, you know, really reaching and kind of, yeah, I think it's a peaceful thing. You know, I think when you feel greatness, it's like this peaceful feeling, you know, of like, I did it, you know, I'm doing it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. So where can we connect with you online?
I would say go to jenniferpage.com. It's PAIGE. And that's probably the best place because all my like social links and stuff are there. And then also, everybody can download a free song if they go there.
Oh, snap.
Yes. It's cool. A new one too. It's brand new.
All right.
And I really like it.
All right. We'll link up to that as well.
Awesome.
But,
perfect.
Yeah, check out jenniferpage.com and at jenniferpage on Twitter and Instagram now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer Page Music. Yep.
Jennifer Page Music on Instagram.
Yep.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. I acknowledge you for being the sweetest guest I've had on here.
Thank you. That's
you
huge.
Are an amazing human being.
Thank you.
Only connected a little bit.
That's really sweet.
You are definitely a gift.
Thank you. That's
to the world and extremely talented.
Thank you.
Your heart is enormous. So thank you for everything you've created, the inspiration you've brought to this earth, the fun, the play, the romance. The harmony.
I mean, you did make out to my song. So
I guess there is romance. Exactly,
that's
exactly.
Good.
So
we'll always have that.
Yes, we will. But I really appreciate you coming on. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed this one with Jennifer. And make sure to go check out the show notes over at lewishouse.com. And watch me sing a little song with Jennifer and let me know what you think. Hopefully I don't embarrass myself too much. But we did like one take and we didn't even practice. And Jennifer, you know, didn't know the words. So we're all just trying to figure it out and make it happen and just had fun with it. So... Check that out. Feel free to share this episode over on Twitter and Facebook and let your friends know about it all over the internet. Again, there's some quick, easy share buttons that you can post with over at the show notes at lewishouse.com. And make sure to check out Jennifer's stuff as well. She's got some new songs coming out. We're going to link it all up in the show notes for you so you can have it all to you and access at your fingertips. I appreciate you guys for listening. It's a pleasure. It's an honor. And it's a privilege to be in your ears each and every week and introduce you to some of the most inspiring friends and guests that I get to have on here. And it's because of you that I get to continue to have awesome guests and awesome information to share to the world. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. Thank you for promoting it, for sharing it with your friends, and for just being dedicated to stepping up in your life and getting the results you want. And if this can provide a little bit of inspiration for you throughout your day, throughout your week, and kind of give you that boost you want and need to take it to the next level, then I'm super happy that it does that for you. So again, thanks so much for tuning in. And you guys know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Inspiration right now before I'm going on stage to prepare. Nothing. I just like, you know, I'm just like in the zone. I'm like, you can do this, you got this, this is gonna be so fun. You're just a pro. I don't know, it's just like, it's gonna be fun. Do it all the way. Okay. Do it all the way, Lewis. Okay. You got this.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.